Take your Bible, turn to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6 this morning, if you will. I've enjoyed these days of camp meeting. And if you missed yesterday, I don't know how you could go back and enjoy what we had on yesterday. From the very first song down through last night, I'll tell you, God was in this place. And Brother Tom did a super job. And then Brother Craig last night just, I tell you, I don't know how to describe it, but it was phenomenal. I appreciate these men of God. I've been involved in camp meetings since 1978. Brother Tom remembers down in Cocoa, used to have a meeting down there, and didn't have a church nearly this big. And if you grease them with axle grease and pushed them, you probably could have got a few more in there. And we had men of God to come and preach, and we had a wonderful time. You remember that, Brother Bill? Brother Bill would come. Mays Jackson would come, and Brother Billy Kelly would be there, and Brother Tom Gillum would come. And boy, we'd have a time. Amen. We'd shout her out. Boy, I'm telling you, we had a time. I remember old boy one night got in the spirit, put a chair on top of his head, walked the pews on top of them. You remember that, Brother Tom? I mean, we had a time, son. I wish we could get back to that in this day, don't you? Amen. And I appreciate these men of God. I appreciate all of you. That's in the work of the Lord. It's good. Appreciate these good songs and the good singing. It's been a blessing in my heart. I want to preach this day out of Galatians chapter 6 for just a few minutes. And I had a fellow say the other day, said, your wife must really love your preaching. I said, why you say that? He said, because while you was preaching, she's sitting back there crying. I said, it wasn't that. If you heard that message many times as she's heard, you'd cry too. But it's good to be here in this days, and I appreciate what the Lord has done for me in these hours. The Bible said in Galatians chapter number 6, if you have your place, say amen. The Bible said in verse number 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault or sin, ye which are spiritual. I don't really know what all that involves, but if you would know somebody that had fallen into sin and you were looking for somebody spiritual, who would you go to? Who would you seek out? What preacher could you go to for help? The Bible said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We're living in a day-to-day and an hour when if one of the brethren is involved in a fault or a sin, it seemed like that this hour and this day that we rather not restore them, but we rather bury them. The Bible said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in meekness. Consider thyself, lest you also be tempted. The Bible said in verse number 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, boy, that's a good thing for us to ever realize in our life that we're just nothing and he's everything. Amen. The Bible said here in verse 2, he deceiveth himself. Now think about that. We have a lot of folk that think they're something. But when you compare yourself to the Lord and you stand up next to him, you'll find out you're nothing. As Brother Tom said yesterday, we're zero with the rim kicked off of it. Not much to us outside of Christ. The Bible said here, verse number 4, but let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now notice in verse 6, let him that is taught in word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Verse number 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit out of Galatians chapter number 6. And that verse number 7 and verse number 8 there is what I want to focus our attention on this morning. I read these verses here and I think about, boy, somehow or another, we that are saved could get hold of this thing and get hold of the truth that God has here in this verse. Boy, I believe it changed everything. Amen. And we're living in a day-to-day where folk believe they can just do anything and live anyway and do whatever they want to do, and it's all right with the Lord. Some folk believe I can get involved in whatever the world is doing, and then all I got to do is just confess it, and everything's all right. I believe there's a little bit more to it than that, don't you? Amen. I just believe that there's a little bit more to it. The Bible here in verse number 8 talks about this thing of sowing to the flesh. It talks about sowing seed, I suppose. As I travel up and down the highway back and forth coming to church, I see people have planted crops. And along the road, you find different crops. Well, somebody along the way had to plant them crops. Somebody had to sow the seed in order for that crop to grow. And we're all, in fact, in some measure, we're sowing seed in this life. All of us are sowers, and you may not have a bigger bag as I've got, or you may have a bigger seed bag than I do, and you may have a bigger land and a bigger place to sow, but we all are sowing seed every day of our life. We're in the seed sowing business, amen. And we need to realize, hey, whatever we sow is going to come up. Somebody said, you really believe that, preacher? Listen, I believe the law of reaping and sowing is as true as the law of gravity. I mean, buddy, hey, if you get up on top of this building and jump off, gravity is going to pull you to the ground. Amen. And the law of gravity and the law of sowing and reaping, I tell you, is as much truth as one is to another. Well, we're living in a time when we need to realize the seed we sow is going to come up sometime. We may plant something today and it may not come up overnight. We may sow a good seed and it may be 3 or 4 weeks before it comes up. We may sow bad seed, but it's going to come up. Whatever we sow is going to come up. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And every day we live, we're either sowing good seed or we're sowing bad seed. And whether it's good or whether it's bad, it's going to come up. Amen. I wish I had known that as a young boy. I wish I had known that as a young Christian. But I didn't know that truth. It's amazing what you learn when you get older. It's amazing how much sense you get when you get a little bit older. Amen. I'll tell you, when we're young, we're just as dumb as a rock. Amen. I mean, buddy, hey, what are you saying? We're sowing and reaping. Every day of our life that we live, we're sowing good seed or bad seed in the field that God has us in. Amen. And I'd like to just take that little thought, if the Lord will help me this morning, and talk to you on the little thought, God never stops the crop. Whatever you sow is going to come up. Whatever you put in the ground is going to come up. God doesn't stop the crop because it's a bad seed. He doesn't stop it because it's a good seed. If you're sowing seed, friend, you can put it down. It's going to come up as sure as you're breathing air. I'm telling you, friend, you sow seed, the harvest will come in. It'll be a time to gather that harvest. I think about a couple of people in the Bible. Do you remember a man by the name of David who was anointed king? You remember what happened to David and a woman by the name of Bathsheba? David got in trouble because he wasn't where he was supposed to be. Now somebody said, well, preacher, it don't make no difference why I go to church or not. Listen, did you know you can get in trouble if you're not where you're supposed to be? Amen. You ought to be in the house of God. Amen. When the doors open, be there. Why? You say, preacher, why? Because if you ain't careful, friend, you'll find yourself sowing bad seed, and after a while, the harvest will come in. Oh, listen, I think of David and Bathsheba. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. There was a battle going on, and David ought to have been over there with Uriah the Hittite. But David was back at home, not where he ought to be, not where he should have been, not with his men of his army and the men to call Uriah. He should have been in the battle. Did you know every time we come in the house of God, there's a battle going on? Yes, sir, buddy, you put that down. I'm going to tell you, listen, every time we come to church, friend, there is a battle going on. Somebody is battling something, friend, and we need to be where we can help them and encourage them and be a blessing to them. Why? Because you never know the results of what's happening. You never know what's going on in a people's lives. David wasn't where he ought to be. Oh, what are you saying, preacher? God never stops the crop. Here we find a young man who is anointed king. There's a battle raging and David's missing. Here we find a young man called David, had a big army, a man after God's own heart, a man who loved God, a man who God judged all the other kings after David. And here he is now missing. He's not in the right place. And you know what happened to him? He got himself in trouble. Why? Because he wasn't where he's supposed to be. Amen. Here we find David. The Bible said David one day came walking down through there. I don't know where he'd been, what he'd been doing. But the Bible said he come walking down through there and saw Bathsheba up on the roof taking a bath. He looked in the wrong direction. He looked in the wrong direction. Buddy, we're living in a time today, I mean, if you want to get in trouble, you ain't got to go to the juke joints and honky-tonks and hell holes of this world. Oh, you got to go to the local church. And you can get more hell than you can get out of the first time you go. Well, you're saying, I'm saying this morning, friend, David looked in the wrong direction. We better learn to keep our eyes on the Lord, keep our nose in that book. Why? Because the devil is out to destroy and tear down and ruin and hinder and work against the things of God. And we're so foolish we deceive ourselves and thinking, brother, we can do what we want to do. Hey, we may do that, but it'll cost us, friend, down the road. God don't never stop the crop, friend. You sow bad seed, it's coming up. You don't have to fertilize it, water it, plant it, or nothing else. It's coming up. Why? Because God said it was. Whatsoever a man, whatsoever. Did you get that word? Whatsoever. 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 Whatever you sow, whatever seed you sow, is coming up one day. May not come up tomorrow, may not come up next year, but it's coming up. 9 months later, after David and Bathsheba had their little affair, a baby was born. It's harvest time now. David has sowed his wild seed. And now a baby is born, and the baby dies, and he has Uriah the Hittite killed, brought him home, and you know the story, and sent him back to the battlefield, and Uriah the Hittite was killed, and the sword never left David's house from that day forth. He never got over that day. David never had a peaceful day the rest of his life. Hey, we better wake up and realize, friend, whatsoever we sow is going to come up. God never stops the crop. Your seed's going to come up, whether good or whether bad. I think of another coincidence in the Bible, another truth in the Bible, another story in the Bible. The man called Ahab. Now, Ahab was a kind of a sissy. He was kind of henpecked, if you know what I mean. And he wouldn't have much of a backbone. And Nabob had a vineyard. And Ahab one day walked down through there and saw Nabob's vineyard, and Ahab wanted that vineyard. And he goes back up there, and Nabob met with Ahab and said, Ahab said, I want to buy that vineyard. I'll give you a decent price for it. Ahab said, not for sale. Not for sale. My vineyard is not for sale. I'm not selling my vineyard. So little sissy Ahab goes back up to Jezebel and tells Jezebel, his wife, Nabob has this beautiful vineyard down there, and I offered him a good price, and he wouldn't take it. She said, don't worry about it, honey, I'll get it for you. I'll get it for you. Don't you worry about that, honey. I'll get it for you. If you want Nabob's vineyard, I'll get it for you. You don't worry about that, honey. I'll take care of it. She sent out letters and had poor old Nabob killed. Here come a man riding through there one day. And he said, who's on the Lord's side? Are you on the Lord's side? I'm on the Lord's side. Who's on the Lord's side? Throw her down. Chunk her down. It's about to become harvest time. The seed is about to come forth. The seed is about to break out of the ground. And they threw her down, and they ran over with a chair and went on down there and had supper and said to those that are around the table, she was a king's daughter. We better go back up there and bury her and take care of her because of who she was. They go back up there. You know what had happened? You got it right. The dogs had eat her flesh and licked her blood. Oh, what are you saying, preacher? God never stops the crop. It's coming up, friend. It's coming up whether you want it to or you don't. Whether you sow it good or you sow it bad, God never stops the crop. He didn't stop it in the days of David. He didn't stop it over there in the days of Ahab and Jezebel. He didn't stop it then. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap it. And I think of another story in the Bible. I don't have time to do all this, but I think about a man called Samson and Delilah. Now, I believe Samson, the Bible reminds us, was a mighty man. One day he goes down to the gates of the city and jerks the gates of the city off and runs up on top of the hill and throws it down. He goes over and catches 300 foxes and ties their tail together and set brands on fire brands in their tail, and they burn the Philistines' cornfield down. It's hard enough to catch one fox, let alone 300. Mighty man. See, Samson is playing with fire. He's sowing some seed. The Bible said he went into a harlot, and she was trying to find out where his strength came from. And Samson teased her. And the first thing you know, he's laying his head in her lap and confessing and telling where his strength lies. What are you saying, preacher? Are you listening? That little flirty word down at work, that little nice winking of the eye down on the job, that little cute little thing you say while you are down at work, you may be fixing to have the harvest come in. God never stops the crop. Samson tells his strength. They come and take Samson. They put him in prison. They put out his eyes. They humiliate him. The crop's coming in now. They take Samson and make fun of him. See, that's what sin does. Sin will deceive you and get you down the road so far you can't go back. And the first thing you realize, hey, buddy, it's made a fool out of me. And Samson prayed to the Lord and said this, Lord, will thou not strengthen me one more time? See, Samson is realizing, buddy, the crop's about to come in. The seed is growing. And Samson lost his life, lost his eyes, and humiliated his God. Why? Because of sowing the wrong seed. I remember Brother Mays Jackson telling this illustration. He said over in Augusta, Georgia, was a young man who had surrendered to preach. And he'd gone to school and had been in school for some time. And he got upset at one of the professors over there and came home one day and told his wife and took his little old Bible and picked it up and slung it across the floor and told his wife, said, I ain't never serving God no more. I'm finished with this preacher stuff. And she begged him not to do that. She said, honey, please don't quit on God. God's been good to us. God's given us our little boy. God's given us our son, cute little old blonde-headed, blue-eyed boy named Sonny. And she said, honey, please don't do that. Don't quit on God. He said, I don't hear nothing about it. I ain't going to church no more. You better watch what you say, friend. You're not talking to a man. You're talking to God Almighty. You better watch what you say. You better watch a seed that comes out of your mouth. He said, I'm through with it. Throws his Bible across the room. Had a little old boy, a four-year-old named Sonny. He refused to go to church. His wife had begged him to go. His little boy had asked him to go. I ain't going. I ain't going down there. Had enough of it. As time went on, one afternoon, he was sitting out on the front porch in Augusta, Georgia, reading the Augusta Chronicle. And this little old boy named Sonny had a little old ball and come around the edge of the house and looked up there and saw his daddy with that paper up in front of his face reading that paper. And he said, "Daddy, would you play ball with me?" And his daddy said, "Sonny, you go on play ball. I'm tired. I've worked all day. I'm get out. I don't want to play ball with you." Stuck that paper back up in front of his face. A little bit later, a little boy come back around there and said, Daddy, would you play ball with me, please?" Daddy said, "Sonny, I done told you one time, I'm not playing ball. You go on and take that ball." Stuck that paper back up in front of his face, and the little boy said, "Daddy, will you go to church with me and Mama on Sunday? Would you go to church with us on Sunday, Daddy? Would you go to my Sunday school class with me? Would you go to Sunday school and hear my teacher teach?" He said, "I'm not going. I done told you and your mama both, I'm not going. You take that ball and you go on and leave me alone." And that little old boy took that little ball, wound up and threw it down the driveway, and it rolled down that driveway and crossed that highway and landed on in the ditch on the other side in that red Georgia mud. And that little old boy, thinking about what his daddy, I suppose, had told him, walked out across that highway, and two boys from Macon, South Carolina, hit that little old boy. Wham! Tire squall, the smoke came up in the car, turned around, wound up in the ditch. And that daddy heard the tires are squealing in the lick of that car, and he looked over that paper and said, "Oh, God!" Threw that paper down, ran down that lawn, crossed the highway in the ditch on the other side, and got down on his knees and picked that little boy up out of that red mud. Walked back out in the middle of the highway, stood there. Seemed like every bone in his little old body broke. He said blood was coming out of his nose and out of his mouth. And he looked down and said, "Sonny, is there anything I can do for you now?" And here's what the little boy said. "Daddy, would you go to church with me Sunday and be in my Sunday school class?" In a few minutes, the heavenly pallbearers came down and took that little soul yonder to glory. They had that little boy's funeral in Augusta, Georgia. On Sunday, following that tragedy, the little boy's daddy went to church. Walked in a little bitty Sunday school room with little 4 and 5 year old kids sitting around and said, "I'm Sonny's daddy. I just told him the other day that I'd be in his class this morning. I hope it'll be all right." And the teacher said, "You're welcome to be here." And he stayed for the Sunday school class. After Sunday school class, he stayed for church and went home. After they had the Sunday meal, he gets up. He goes down to the graveside, and he sees those flowers across that grave and all those pretty bouquets around. He falls across that grave and he says, "Oh, God. Oh, God. You took the most precious thing I ever had. Oh, God." He said, "I'll do what you want me to do. And I'll go where you want me to go." What are you saying, preacher? God never stops the crop. He's reaping now. He sowed back over here. Now it's harvest day. Now it's crops. is being gathered in. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this morning, friend, listen. We better be careful what we sow. We better be careful what we sow in this day in which we live. Because God never stops the crop. Father, bless us. Thank you, Lord, for these hours and days that we've been able to enjoy and sit around the Word of God and the table of God. And we thank you, Lord, for these men that's fed our souls. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Billy and this church and the sacrifice that's made, that we that are on the battlefield might be able to sow the good seed of the Word of God, that men, women, boys, and girls might be saved and born again by the grace of God Almighty. We thank you, Lord, that one day a little virgin by the Holy Ghost conceived a seed and our Savior was born. We thank you and magnify your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.